Senate will come to order. First item is roll call. I didn't want to scratch it. It had my name on it. Yeah, go get that big sucker.
Roll call for Wednesday, January 14th. Anderson, District 2.
Here.
Anderson, District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstetter.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Escobel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hicks.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Kinski.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Pappas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Von Platern.
Here.
Wasserberger.
Here.
President Nicholas.
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by Father Cronkleton. Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Label! See, reading correction approval of journal. Do we have that today? We've got some. Do we have some journals? Okay, will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of January the 13th, 2015, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jeff Wasserberger, Chairman.
Mr. Chairman Wasserberger, will you show everybody your journal book?
I took it home, Mr. President.
You got to be kidding me. We give him a journal book. Well, you're not a very good chairman. You need to work harder. Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Let's see, the nurse of the day, let's see, I've got my list here. The doctor of the day is Dr. John Healy from Cheyenne. Doctor, welcome. We're glad to have you. I hope you can heal better than the chairman of the journal committee can keep track of his book. See, we're at the order of business, introduction, reading, and reference of bills. Is that right? Or are we going to skip through? All right. Are these the committee, the whole ones?
No.
Set of file 11. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
Senate file 11, selling to junk dealers ID required, sponsored by Senator Christensen.
Set of file 11 is assigned to committee number 1, Judiciary. Set of file 12. Would please read the bill.
Senate file 12, trespassing to collect data, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee.
Pardon me. Set of file 12 is assigned to committee number 1, Judiciary. Set of file 14, if read the bill.
Senate file 14, asset forfeiture 2, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee.
Senate file 14 is assigned to committee number 1, Judiciary. Senate file 18.
Senate file 18, expungement of misdemeanor, sponsored by Senator Case.
Senate file 18 is assigned to committee number 1, Judiciary. Senate file 21, first reading of the bill.
Senate file 21, theft of identity minor, sponsored by Senator Johnson.
Senate file 21 is assigned to committee number 1, Judiciary. Senate file 38, first reading of the bill.
Senate file number 38, controlled substance, first offense for possession, sponsored by Senator Case.
Senate file 38 is assigned to committee number 1, Judiciary. Senate file 40, first reading of the bill.
Senate file 40, burglary, sponsored by Senator Case.
Senate file 40 is assigned to committee number 1, Judiciary. I guess they're going to have to get up early. Senate file 7, first reading of the bill.
Senate file 7, tethering dogs, sponsored by Senator Geis.
Really? Senate file 7 is assigned to committee number 1, Judiciary. Senate file 9, first reading of the bill.
Senate file 9, right to farms, sponsored by Senator Bebout.
Senate file 9, assigned to committee number 1, Judiciary. Senate file 17, first reading of the bill.
Senate file 17, resident contractor materials preference, sponsored by Senator Bebout.
Senate file 17 is assigned to committee number 2, appropriations. Senate joint resolution number 2, first reading of the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution 2, Investment of State Funds, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee.
Senate Joint Resolution number 2 is assigned to Committee number 2, Appropriations. Senate File 42, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 42, Task Force on Mineral Taxes, sponsored by the Revenue Committee.
Senate file 42, assigned to committee number 3, revenue. Senate file 57, first reading of the bill.
Senate file 57, school facilities appropriations, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee.
Senate file 57 is assigned to committee number 4, education. Senate file 8, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 8, State Education Accountability and Assessment, sponsored by the Education Accountability Committee.
Senate File 8 is assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. Senate File 4, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 4, Dry Bean Research, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee.
Senate File 4 is assigned to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Senate File 46, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 46, Fire Misdemeanors, sponsored by Senator Geis.
Senate File 46 is assigned to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Senate File 51, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 51, Water Development Amendment, sponsored by the Select Water Committee.
Senate File Number 51 is assigned to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Senate File 55, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 55, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, sponsored by the Select Water Committee.
Senate File 55 is assigned to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Senate File 56, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 56, Study on Transfer of Public Lands, sponsored by the Natural Resource Management Committee.
Senate File 56 is assigned to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Senate File 6, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 6, Aquatic Invasive Species, sponsored by Senator Burns.
Senate File 6 is assigned to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Senate File 44, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 44, Large Project Funding, sponsored by the Natural Resource Funding Committee.
Senate File 44 is assigned to Committee Number 6, Travel. Senate File 5, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 5, Quebec Number 1 Historic Site 3, sponsored by the Travel Committee.
Senate File 5 is assigned to Committee Number 6, Travel. Senate File 63, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 63, Predator Ownership, sponsored by Senator Anderson, 02.
Senate File 63 is assigned to Committee Number 6, Committee Number 6, Travel. Senate File Number 2, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 2, Bar and Grill Liquor Licenses, sponsored by Senator Burns.
Senate File Number 7 is submitted or assigned to Committee Number 2, Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 33, first reading of the bill.
The right bill number.
Pardon me? I'd be happy. The Bar and Grill?
Yeah, but I think you said the wrong number.
Oh, let me see. The Senate File Number 2 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Does that take care of it?
This is Senate File 33.
Okay, Senate File 33, first reading of the bill.
There we go. Senate File 33, Precinct Committee Person Election, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
Senate File 33 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 35, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 35, Security Breach Notification, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
Senate File 35 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 36, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 36, Personal Identifying Information Definition, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
Senate File 36 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 37, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 37, State Protection of Data Privacy, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
Senate File 37 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 41, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 41, Employee Online Privacy, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
Senate File 41 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 43, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 43, Wyoming Telecommunication Act Revision, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
Senate File 43 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 45, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 45, Digital Information Privacy Task Force Reappropriation, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
Senate File 45 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 47, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 47, City Engineers' Duty to Estimate Project Cost, sponsored by Senator Case.
Senate File 47 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 49, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 49, Initiative and Referendum Revision, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
Senate File 49 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 50.
Senate File 50, Tribal Liaisons, sponsored by the Tribal Relations Committee.
Senate File Number 7 is assigned to Corporations. Let's try that again. Senate File 50 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 52, first reading.
Senate File 52, Election, Vote Centers and Electronic Poll Books, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
Senate File 52 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 53, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 53, Special Election Time Limits, sponsored by the Corporation Committee.
Senate File 53 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 54, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 54, Election Code Revisions, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
Senate File 54 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, first reading of the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution 1, Right of Privacy Constitutional Amendment, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 1 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File Number 19, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 19, VIN Inspection, sponsored by Senator Case.
Senate File Number 19 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Senate File 27, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 27, Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Highway, sponsored by Senator Anderson, 28.
Senate File 27 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Senate File 28, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 28, Highway Entrance Right-of-Way, sponsored by the Transportation Committee.
Senate File 28 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Senate File 29, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 29, Motor Vehicle Driver's License Exemptions, sponsored by the Transportation Committee.
Senate File 29 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Senate File 25.
Senate File 25, Cease and Transfer Priority List, sponsored by the Minerals Committee.
Senate File 25 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 26, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 26, Challenge Loan Interest Rate, sponsored by the Minerals Committee.
Senate File 26 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 34.
Senate File 34, Interstate Mining Compact Commission Membership, sponsored by the Minerals Committee.
Senate File 34 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 39.
Senate File 39, Industrial Siting Permit Amendments, sponsored by Senator Case.
Senate File 39 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Yes. Senate File 65, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 65, Saving and Loans Association, sponsored by Senator Kinsey.
Senate File 65 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 31, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 31, Department of Health Reports Cleanup, sponsored by the Labor Committee.
Senate File 31 is assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor. Senate File 62.
Senate File 62, Oral Chemotherapy Parity, sponsored by Senator Anderson, 02.
Senate File 62 assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor. Senate File 64, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 64, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Act Extension, sponsored by the Labor Committee.
Senate File 64 is assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor. Senate File 66, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 66, Medicaid Expansion Alternative, sponsored by the Labor Committee.
Senate File 66 is assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor. Ready for the Committee of the Whole? Pardon me? Reports from Standing Committee.
January the 14th, Mr. President, to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 13, Method of Execution 1, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Christensen, Hicks, Kinsey, Von Fladeren. No, Senator Escobel, Senator Christensen, Chairman. January the 14th, 2015. Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 16, Controlled Substances, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, Kinsey, and Von Fleter, and Senator Christensen, Chairman. January 24, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 10, Education Administration 1, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Anderson, O2, Coe, Dockstader, Pappas, Rothfuss, Senator Co-Chairman. January the 14th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 20, School Finance Excess Mill Levy Rebate, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Anderson, O2, Coe, Dockstader, Pappas, and Rothfuss, Senator Co-Chairman. January the 14th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number nine, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 22, Landfill Remediation Priority List, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Anderson, 28, Cole, Cooper, Rothfuss, Van Fleteren, Senator Von Fleteren, Chairman. January the 14th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number nine, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 23, Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission Amendments, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Anderson, 28, Cole, Cooper, Rothfuss, and Von Fleteren, Senator Von Fleteren, Chairman. January the 14th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number nine, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 24, Wyoming Infrastructure Authority Amendments, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Anderson, 28, Cole, Cooper, Rothfuss, Von Fleteren, Senator Von Fleteren, Chairman. January the 14th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 32, Small Employer Group Health Insurance, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Kraft, Driscoll, Landon, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor, we're at that order of business consideration of general file, bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the committee, the Senate resolve itself in the committee of the whole to discuss the bills that are on the board up there in that order. And, Mr. President, we're off to a good start. The bill I had up first was already killed in the Judiciary Committee, so we're doing good work.
You heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. Call on Senator Landon to approach the desk.
Stand up.
I'm going to drink this. No water for you, boy.
Farm Bill and Judiciary.
Which one did I put in there? Did I put
the
two?
I don't know.
Let me look at it. They can always refer it back.
Fellow Senators, let's get this party started in here. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. First bill for our consideration is Senate File 22, If the reading clerk would please read the Senate file.
Turned on. Senate File 22, Landfill Remediation Priority List, sponsored by the Minerals Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals Business Economic Development, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson 28, Cole, Cooper, Rothfuss, Von Fladeren, Senator Von Fladeren, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Von Fladeren?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 22. And to further explain the bill, I'd ask the Chair to call on the good Senator from Park County. Or the other senator.
Well, Senator Cole.
Mr. Chairman, I am the good senator from Park County. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Senate File 22 goes into the continuing dialogue that we've had concerning, solid waste remediation, landfills. And if you look back at the history on it, you'll remember other legislation we passed in the past. We had a citizens advisory group that was appointed back in 2005, but some of the key issues that we've tried to address as we've looked at solid waste remediation is to develop a framework of uniformity in solid waste design requirements to be able to go out and protect the groundwater and reduce the long-term liability of the citizens of Wyoming and eliminate or at least reduce opportunity to subjective evaluation of suitability. And really, the key to it is to develop a level playing field. What this bill does, at a request of the Appropriations Committee, I believe a year ago, where we appropriated $17 million, is to bring a prioritized list. So what's in this bill is a prioritization of the municipal solid waste facilities. It authorizes expenditure of the previously appropriated funds that I just alluded to. Prioritize a list of projects, and then still gives limited discretionary authority to DEQ to modify the prioritized list. Testimony in committee today, we have 114 landfills roughly out there. 82 of those out of 114, the standards are too high for contamination, so we've got problems with 82 of those. 14, believe it or not, nothing needs to be done. Thing that kind of concerned me was the preliminary number to deal with the entire problem out there that we heard about before was $226 million, and now that's been raised to $280 million. The way these are structured, 75% comes from the state, through our fund, through our remediation fund. Local match is 25%. So far we've put $45 million into this account. That's the numbers I got. And as I alluded to, we have another appropriations waiting out there for the prioritized list of some $17 million. So that's what's in the bill, and I try to answer questions.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to be sure on the $17 million, I think that was appropriated during our last budget session, and that's already been appropriated for that. And I think the senator said that it would be appropriated. We've already set it up. The question I have is, have any of that been spent or allocated or been designated as a project?
Senator Cole.
Mr. Chairman, I hope I didn't say that wrong. The money has been appropriated, but none of it's been spent yet, because we're waiting on the prioritized list, which I believe Appropriations Committee wanted, and that's what you see in this bill. And basically, that process could begin to spend that $17 million once we approve this prioritized list.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, With respect to this account, the idea was to for the state to recognize that the locals were not going to be able to pay for their obligations. We decided we would begin a fund, set up the list, set up the priority, identify the amount of resources required, and lock in the state's obligation and then finish these out. So my first question with respect to the list, have we identified all the remediation sites that are now available or able to come into this account? And secondly, why the increase in total dollars so quickly?
Senator Hicks.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just a quick question is if we could get a little explanation as to what the prioritization system was, and I guess really what I want to get to on that is having numerous landfills in my district, the question comes is it seems like sometimes we've got permits from DEQ that either are not issue or be an issue, and how is that driving the priority list? Are we getting into a situation where we have a cap and abandon or cap and eliminate system, but yet it's so far down on the prioritization list that that's not feasible?
Senator Cole.
Mr. Chairman, my understanding in testimony that, first to try to answer Mr. President's questions, there's 114 sites out there, and they have clearly identified 82 of those as having problems. The increase in the overall exposure the state has from $226 million to $280, we never heard a really good explanation for that, but that's the number I thought I heard today in committee. Maybe Mr. Chairman over there would like to comment as well.
Chairman Von Plater.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, they have identified all the sites. They have 14 more that they're still testing beyond this 82, but the 82 and the 14 good sites that they know they have no problem with, 14 that they're not so sure about, but they extrapolated the money on those. That's why you get the $280 million. One of the things that will raise the $220 or $230 that we started with, what raised it a little bit, was that they are giving prior credits, if you remember right, beyond a certain date. I think it was 2006, but don't quote me on that. If you did any work on your landfill after that date, you got up to 75% of the credit, the money you spent, and the state was going to give you 75% credit, which would have raised our $220 million. We'll pay a bigger share of the money, and through further investigation, they added some more money for some remediation. So now you're up to $280 million, and that's the latest figure. There's 14 sites extrapolated into that they think will need remediation, but they're not absolutely sure on. They're still testing, but this 280 should encompass all of them. Of course, with inflation in the future, who knows, and what the EPA may add to regulations in the future, we don't know either.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, what I heard in committee today from the testimony from the department was that they've done a thorough study of all those sites, and they've taken the worst first that have the biggest liability to the state, and they're trying to prioritize them first. All of those have liabilities on them. They're taking the worst ones first, and that's how they prioritize them by their monitoring and their testing of those sites.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Of course, one of the things that State of Wyoming has primacy on the solid waste issue, and when we get into solid waste, there's a discussion between our own DEQ and EPA out of Denver about whether or not you have to go in and the extent that you have to repair these existing landfills or ones that are going to be abandoned relative to whether they're lined or not. The question I have, and maybe you could get this information and come back tomorrow, is did that come up in the discussion, and are we trying to go back into some of these abandoned landfills and say now that we have to clean them out, line them, and then go ahead and cap them? I think that's a real mistake, and I would hope that we're not doing that.
Are you ready for the question? Question has been called. All those in favor of Senator Von Plater's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 22, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Senate File 22 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 16. Would the reading clerk please read Senate File 16?
Senate File 16, Controlled Substances, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senator Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, Kinsey, and Von Flatern, Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 16, Controlled Substances. There are no standing committee amendments. To further discuss the bill, I would ask you to call on the Senator from District 11.
Well, Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, it's good to be back. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I believe the bill has been moved.
It has, Senator.
Members, this is just a cleanup bill under the Wyoming Controlled Substance Abuse Act. As we continue to see evolution of synthetic drugs, the crime lab has to keep up with the newest and latest cocktail. So all this bill does is if you go down to the bottom of page 1, starting on line 16, it just lists all the new chemical derivatives that are being brewed and cooked up out there now that we need that would fall underneath the Wyoming Substance Abuse Act. With that, unless there is anybody in the body that would like me to read all these to you, Mr. Chairman, all right, here we go. We have optical, positional, and geometric isomers of salts and salts of isomers. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd ask for the question.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I was approached along with the Judiciary Chairman later on this morning after this bill was passed out of committee, and they have some additional chemicals that they would like to add to that list, so I'll be bringing a second reading amendment tomorrow.
Thank you, Senator, for that heads up. Anything else? Senator Case.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So where does this list come from? Who decides what's going to be a controlled substance? What's the criteria for that? Are these substances all something that's harmful or shown to be harmful? I see salts. I've heard this stuff about bath salts. I'm interested in what the discussion was about that. I mean, when you put something on the controlled substance list, someone that uses it gets in trouble. Is it a felony? Does this mean that they become felons? Is that something we need to worry about? What are the consequences of doing this? I just think, kind of serious, let's have a little bit more discussion.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, to answer the question from the good senator from Fremont County, this list comes out of the AG's office and the DCI from the laboratory. So as they are able to detect new chemical substances that are being used in the illicit drug trade out there, and typically it's just a matter, if you go through there, most of the derivatives in these compounds are already in there. They just change one little chemical component to that, which under the way our laws are structured, we have to identify that, the chemistry on that, for the laboratory to be able to detect and say, okay, we've changed one isomer. We've added one molecule onto this chain, but it's not covered under our existing statutes now, so all this does is add these new chemical formulas underneath there that are currently being, as they develop these drugs out on the market. This is so we can utilize that, and the labs can test these, and then they follow under our Controlled Substance Abuse Act. That I'd stand for any additional questions.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm just kind of curious along the same lines of if any of these have any current industrial uses, any other applications, if there are potential compounds that might be used, or are these strictly just things that are only useful for drugs? Was that conversation had? My concern would simply be, you know, if on this list is also a useful industrial chemical, and honestly, when I look at the list, even as a chemical engineer, it means about as much to me as anyone else in the room. They're pretty obscure. But it still would be good to know if we're making something illegal that I've got in my garage.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, today we did not have anybody from DCI show up for this. This list was prepared for us. We've done it every year that I've been on the Judiciary Committee. If the Committee of the Whole would like tomorrow in the second reading, I'm sure we could get that report from DCI spelling out where these may fall and what enhancements or what their more relatively known cousins are.
Thank you for that offer, Chairman Christensen. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, slightly different question, where you're just changing one molecule. These are fairly complex, just reading the bill, they're fairly complex molecules. It strikes me that the number of possibilities for just one change, I haven't done the math on it, but I think it would blow your mind as to how many possibilities there are. And we're having one of these bills every year. I wonder if we don't need to go to some kind of a system where instead of having to specify each one of these things in our law, we can't do some general things that give law enforcement and the courts some guidance, because I have a suspicion that when you really do the math on what's possible here, we could fill up the whole of our statute books with these chemicals, and there'd be just infinite numbers of possibilities, and the people that are trying to sell dangerous, and they are dangerous, Mr. Chairman, mind-altering chemicals, won't just stay one or two steps ahead of us permanently. And I think maybe I'm not against this bill, but I really think, Mr. Chairman, we need to look long-term at a better solution in our laws to this problem than just always being continually behind and adding all the new things that come along.
Senator Von Plater.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just bring the body's attention to page 1 at the under 357.1014F. It does say to make it illegal, any quantity of the following substances having a stimulant effect on the central nervous system, including its optical, on page 2, positional and geometric salt, isomers, salts, etc. So anyway, it has to have some physical effect on you versus being, and I can tell you most of your cleaning products will have a really adverse effect on you if you ingest them. So this bill, and I agree with the good tall senator from Trona County, we probably need not to have a future list that would go on forever. But the fact that I think that language there just says if it has an adverse effect upon the body, a stimulating effect, then it makes the list.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the discussion we've had on this, and what the good senators have said makes a lot of sense. I have a concern from like a civil liberty standpoint that you have, we have law enforcement recommending to the legislature what they should enforce as a controlled substance. Fine enough. I definitely want to get after everything that's harmful and that, can hurt people or hurt others. I'm totally with you on that. But I always wonder if, we have kind of a circular system here a little bit. And who's recommending what's going to be? We have law enforcement recommending what should be illegal, and I'm sure they've done a fine job. We've been doing this for a long time. We've had a war on drugs, and substance have been illegal for a long, long, long time. But I'd hope that we would maybe just take a little extra time to have a little bit more scrutiny about this as we move forward. That's my thoughts.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, in addressing the good chairman of the Corporations Committee's concerns, and I can understand them and to an extent agree with them. I just want to point out, we are actually basically relying on the expertise of both the Attorney General's office and, I think, in their case, to an extent, DCI, that these are the drugs that are being used and that are being mutated, so to speak, to get around the prohibitions, and they're trying to keep up with this. If, for instance, it came to be found out that one of these drugs actually had a dual use for a common everyday use and somebody was arrested for that, I think that's something that this body should be very concerned about if and when that happened. But until that happens, I don't really have that big a concern about it.
Go to the minority floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have one more curiosity about it, which is, and it sounds like there wasn't any expert analysis provided on the details of these, but are they harmful? Are they addictive? If they're not, tell me why we're concerned. If they are, I can see why we're concerned, but and they probably are. But if you haven't heard that testimony, I would be curious, certainly, to get some feedback on that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do I hear a question on the bill? All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 16, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no. Senate File 16 has passed committee of the whole. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 10. Would the reading clerk please read the Senate file?
Senate File 10, Education Administration 1, sponsored by the Education Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Cole, Dockstader, Pappas, and Rothfuss, Senator Co-Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Cole?
Mr. Chairman, move in the Committee of the Whole Rise and Report, do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 10. Members of the Senate, this is a cleanup bill. It's a big cleanup bill, but if you remember, on January 28, 2014, the Wyoming Supreme Court ruled that Senate File 104 was passed by the legislature during the 2013 session was unconstitutional, so this bill amends Wyoming statute to reflect the order issued by the Supreme Court. You'll see in Section 1, we go in and replace the term director with state superintendent. There were, however, if you remember the decision, there were four different things in the decision that the Supreme Court said were, in fact, constitutional. So those are still in there. In Section 2, we required an annual report from the superintendent of status of schools and to provide professional development in accordance with report findings. That was found constitutional. That's still in there. Also in Section 2, we eliminated the superintendent's in-house legal counsel. That was found constitutional. In Section 2 as well, in the original bill, we revised the appointment of the Professional Teaching Standards Board, two appointed by the governor, two appointed by the superintendent. And finally, in 216210, the elimination of requirement for WDE to assist the State Committee on District Boundary Board. So what this bill really does, it just goes back in and puts back the way the statutes were prior to Senate File 104. That's all it does.
Do I hear a question? Question has been called. All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 10, please say aye. Any opposed, no. Senate File 10 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 23. Would the reading clerk please read the Senate file?
Senate File 23, Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission Amendment, sponsored by the Minerals Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals Business Economic Development, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Cole, Cooper, Rothfuss, Von Fladern, Senator Von Fladern, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the Senate file. What is your pleasure, Chairman Von Fladern?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate file 23. And to explain this bill further for us, I call on the good senator from academia.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this is a kind of a cleanup bill that brings the Enhanced Oil Recovery Institute Commission and the activities at the university related to enhanced oil recovery into alignment better with the statutory directives. Mr. Chairman, you'll see on page 2, the beginning of the changes, but it goes into page 3, an alignment of the responsibilities of the Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission and Institute of, first of all, recognizing the close relationship that's been built between the EORI, the Enhanced Oil Recovery Institute, and the School of Energy Resources, which was not in existence when the EORI was formed. So language, you can see, has been changed on page 3, adding the University of Wyoming School of Energy Resources in several places, and on page 4 and 5 to establish that relationship and show that the two entities are working together. You can see also on page 3 the addition of it not just being oil, but oil and gas recovery, recognizing that part of the mission of the EORI has evolved into improved recovery of natural gas as well in the state of Wyoming, and a recognition of that and just calling it out within the directives for the Institute and the Commission. And there's some language struck that I'll bring your attention to, another significant point on page 3, lines 13 through 15. The original objective or mission of the Enhanced Oil Recovery Institute and Commission included oil and gas recovery technological issues, as we've discussed, but carbon dioxide separation, reservoir seep performance, and reservoir displacement efficiency. Well, that carbon dioxide separation ended up moving over towards the Carbon Management Institute and some other research entities at the university. So that aspect of the original mission of the EORI was really never taken up since other bodies did that, and they were striking the language, or they made a request to the legislature to strike that language, recognizing that it was actually in the purview of other entities at the university. And then just clarifies on the rest of that paragraph, lines 16 through 20, the intent, which is consistent with what they've been operating under, to facilitate a meaningful and measurable increase in recoverable reserves and production of oil and natural gas in Wyoming, and then through the resources they have available to them. On page 4, it's just further refinement of the language, generalizing the applicability of the enhanced oil recovery on lines 4 through 8, where there's specific technologies laid out on 4 through 6, striking those and just indicating more general language that it's in both conventional and unconventional oil and gas reservoirs. And then it talks about on page 4, lines 10 and the rest of the page, just a discussion of the commission, again laying out that relationship between the commission now and the University of Wyoming School of Energy Resources to work together to carry out the mission of the Enhanced Oil Recovery Institute and the commission. The rest of the legislation is just conforming language, Mr. Chairman. And with that, I'd ask the body for favorable consideration.
Thank you, Senator. Do I hear a question? Question has been called. All those in favor of Senator Von Fladern's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 23, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no. Senate File 23 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 20. Would the reading clerk please read that Senate file?
Senate File 20, School Finance Excess Mill Levy Rebate, sponsored by the Education Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 4, Education, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Cole, Dockstader, Pappas, and Rothfuss, Senator Cole, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the Senate file. What is your pleasure, Senator Cole?
Mr. Chairman, move when the committee of the whole rise and report do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate file 20 and defer to Senator Raffas.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good to hear from you again.
This is a lovely one-page bill with a seven-page explanation. All of you have distributed a handout from the Wyoming Department of Education that goes into detail about the mill levy rebate program and why it's being eliminated. You can see it in the legislation on page one. This is simply a repealer that's repealing previous language that allowed for excess mill levy recapture rebates. And what this is discussing is a circumstance that arises from the previous funding model for our schools, where you had local resources going towards the funding and building of schools and of the school districts. Obviously, through the Campbell County decisions, that was changed, and it moved to a system of statewide funding and equitable distribution of those resources. So we have the recapture, we have the rebate districts, and we collect the resources and redistribute in an equitable manner. Well, there are some legacy statutes that are in place and have been in place that we've been trying to correct for over the years, where there still might be some bias in the system. The Department of Education identified one of those, an excess mill levy last year, the mill levy supplement, which we eliminated in the previous session, and came back and found one more program that was still existing, and that's this excess mill levy rebate program. And what it does, and we'll see how if I can explain this in a way that makes any sense at all without having to read all seven pages, is under the old system where a district could bond for a school, there was a program in place for the recapture districts. Those are the ones where the state is going to take back some of the funds that they collect because they collect more than their fair share. There was a program in place which would allow a portion of those recaptured funds to be used to pay down bond debt, which made perfect sense at the time. Now, however, to the extent that we only let school districts bond for enhancements, which we do not participate in as the state, we no longer want them to take, or we want to take all that recapture back. We don't want to let them keep a portion of it. However, there are still two school districts that are in circumstances where they're keeping a small slice of that because this is still on the books. And in fact, any of your school districts moving forward, if they were a recapture district, would be able to continue to take a portion of that despite the fact that it's effectively unconstitutional by those Campbell decisions. So the department brought this concern to us, recognizing that it was just vestigial. It was something that was not taken out when the Campbell County decisions were recognized in statute. And it's probably unconstitutional, needs to be eliminated. They asked us to do so. We're bringing it to the body. Makes a lot of sense to us, obviously. It's very clear. And once again, I'd be open for questions, but I'd urge the body to support this legislation.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question on the report from the WDE. It said that $2.7 million went out since 05-06. But only $1.1 million of that went to debt service funds. The question I have is, what happened to the other money? And then the follow-up to that is, did they inappropriately put it in other areas within their budgets that they should not have and violated the statute?
Senator Raffas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The testimony we received when we asked that question was that yes, effectively, a substantial portion of it was used contrary to statute, but unknowingly. They didn't understand that that was their obligation. They were left with a certain amount of funds after the accounting was done. They basically have a block grant, and they spent their money. So it was not a knowing misallocation or misuse of funds, but yes, it was in violation of statute.
Do I hear question on the Senate file? Question having been called. All those in favor of Senator Von Flader's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 20 Excuse me, let me reread that. All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 20, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no. Senate File 20 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 24. Would the reading clerk please read the Senate file?
Senate File 24, Wyoming Infrastructure Authority Amendment, sponsored by the Minerals Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals Business Economic Development, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Cole, Cooper, Rothfuss, Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the Senate file. What is your pleasure, Senator Von Flatern?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 24. And to explain the bill a little better than I can is the good senator from way over in the West.
Let's go to the West to Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this House Bill 24, or Senate file, excuse me, Senate File 24 was brought about mainly because of a House bill that we actually passed last year. It was called House Bill 147, which actually extended the ability of the Wyoming Infrastructure Authority to do other things besides build transmission power lines as it was originally set up for. We added the ability for them to add coal distribution facilities, including ports, to this. And as you know, how many ports we have in the state of Wyoming here, especially, particularly seaports. Anyway, the bill takes on amends two sections of the current law, and these, what they do is provide, one of the sections provides additional bonding capacity for the Infrastructure Authority, and the other one takes out the ownership language in here, because actually the Infrastructure Authority doesn't own anything and doesn't have any really intent to own anything, really. So they provide a bonding capacity for incentives for businesses to build this infrastructure. Anyway, just going through the bill, Mr. Chairman, first of all, if you look down on line 15 on page 1, you can see where we've struck out the finance projects of its own. As I mentioned, it doesn't own any projects, so that was just inappropriate for that to even be in there. Now, if you move over to page 2, you can see on line 9 of page 2 where we've actually taken out in order to finance projects not owned by the authority. Well, the authority, like I said, doesn't own any projects, so that was taken out of there too. They said the main reason for the Infrastructure Authority to provide incentives. And then on lines 11 and 12, you can see we added as well as, and that's just to be able to provide some make the sentence more inclusive there. And then we took out which shall be located at least partially within Wyoming. And as I said before, we now, with House Bill 147, said we're going to now be able to bond ports, seaports in particular, which we don't have any in Wyoming, so they can't be part of it in Wyoming. So this is just to make it, bring it up to speed with House Bill 147. And where it says consistent with the purpose of providing in statute 375303A, and that just, all that does is explain the purposes for what the authority was created for. Then you get down to the last couple lines there, 15, 16, and this is where, and 17 is where we extended the from $1 billion worth of bonding capacity to $3 billion, and that's because now we've added quite a bit of extensive possibilities for this infrastructure to bond for. And that's basically the purpose of this bill and why it was there. And I can see Senator Meyer got something.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Meyer?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question I have, and I know the reason why that ownership part was put into that thing, because Tony and I worked on that bill originally. What I recall is in the worst-case scenario, what if you have to repossess your asset? Well, if you repossess it, there's a brief period of time before you market it or dispose of it, you're going to have to own it. So, you know, I guess ask me the question is that how do you repossess something if you can't possess it?
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, I'm very excited about this bill because we did that thing to get an aircraft carrier a few years ago, and we need a place to park it. And we need a port. And I don't understand why we have to have a port somewhere else, so why can't we have a port in Wyoming? We got money. We can afford to pay for one. But I really do. I have trouble understanding this, actually. To start with, I think we ought to look at Article 16, Section 6, which talks about the loan of credit, donations, prohibited works of internal improvement. Neither the state nor any county, city, township, town, school district, or any other political subdivision shall loan or give its credit or make donations to or in aid of any individual association or corporation except for the necessary support of the poor. Now, I know that this is old language. I know the Infrastructure Authority's been in business. But now we want to take and develop things that we don't own and they're not even located in the state. I guess I'd feel a lot better if we could just park our aircraft carrier here in Wyoming where it ought to be, but I still wonder about 16, Section 6 and how it fits.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was concerned about that problem, too, and I went and I looked at the bonds, and these particular bonds, there are not general obligation bonds. They're not, or they are, they're bonds that come, they're repaid from the revenues or the other things, that the income streams that come from whatever facility is being constructed, and so they're similar to, as I took it, they would be similar to a industrial revenue bond. So there's no full faith and credit. There's no encumbrance of state assets or other things related to these bonds, as I understood it. And if that's wrong, I would hope that our brothers and on the Minerals Committee would correct that. And so they can speak of that. The other question I had as I went back and I looked, because I was interested, since we're removing the requirement to be within the state of Wyoming, and so I went back and I looked at the reference point, Mr. Chairman, that is referred to on page 2 of line 14 of the bill, the 375-303A. And so I'm looking at 375-303A. And the first part I get, there's a general statement of different purposes, which would include advanced coal technology facilities, coal distribution facilities, including ports and the like. But then at the end of that paragraph, towards the end of that paragraph, it's a long paragraph, but it's only two sentences long. So the second sentence of that paragraph limits, it says, in order to provide operation of existing and new electric and energy transmission facilities, the authority may own, lease, rent, or rent facilities constructed pursuant to the authority conferred herein, and so on and so forth. And my question was, as we look at that, and we've expanded this to be coal, if, again, going back to this issue about possessing and owning, at the end of the day, it would appear to me that there may be limiting language that may need to be addressed in this bill, because it seems that there's potentially limiters in the statute you're referring to in this bill that would limit it to only new and electric energy transmission facilities, which obviously is beyond the scope of coal or coal transmission, as least as I would understand it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, and I don't know if I can answer that question, but I think, you know, and I went through 375-303A up in committee and looked at it just as well as you did, Mr. Vice President. And I'm not sure if the new language in that paragraph A helps address that, in that it says the authority may issue and have outstanding bonds to finance electric transmission facilities, as well as other facilities and related infrastructure consistent with the purposes of 375-303A. Now, I don't know if that gives you any ease there or not, but just a little history of what's gone on in Wyoming. Only a couple of us probably were around then, but the Kern River Pipeline was an example of I can't remember when that was, back a long time ago. a long time ago. And what this legislation attempts to do is to provide the same type of catalyst, potentially, if we in fact want to try to save our coal in Wyoming, we want to ship it to the Pacific Northwest. We're under full-scale assault. That's what this legislation attempts to do. The catalyst to do the Kern River Pipeline, they consistently said if we wouldn't have provided that catalyst, they might not have built it. And it was at a time in Wyoming when we had no transmission for gas. We were struggling for transportation. So I don't know if I picked that out right. I'm not a real lawyer, but I did see that tie there for the benefit of Mr. Vice President.
Mr. President.
Mr. Chairman, just to have a discussion of what I think where it's happening is, so we've done this, you're correct, I believe, in two areas with the Pipeline Authority and the Infrastructure Authority. And we have a couple different kinds of experiences that have taken place. So when we were looking at the pipeline, the Kern River, and I believe is a good example, first of all, you have to have an issuing authority, an entity that is a public entity that issues the authority. Issues the bond. So back when the Infrastructure Authority was created and the Pipeline Authority were created, they were created as quasi-governmental entities. What we said is you could issue the bonds, but you could not lend the credit of the state. So you could just be a bond issuer. Now, there was a time where a public entity could issue a bond and the purchasers of the bonds would enjoy tax-free treatment. And generally speaking, if you're buying a tax-free bond, the differential between the tax-free market and the public market for tax bonds is about 1% to 2%. What has happened over time, is that as Congress has looked at their revenue, they've determined that they've eliminated the industrial revenue bond tax-free status. And the reason they did that is because they need revenues. So as the tax-free status of these bonds were eliminated, then the question is, what are they good for? What type of investor would want to come in and buy a $100 million bond? Because if it's a revenue bond, you can go to the private market. You don't need to go to a public entity to be the issuing authority. There's no benefit to you. And now in the Kern River example, there were discussions about whether or not the state of Wyoming should purchase the bonds, and we never got to that end. But we believed that because the state of Wyoming was in the market and authorized issuance of bonds, that developed enough interest in the private market that it helped them bring investors, and really bring investors and lenders. And ultimately, they were able to conduct that transaction in the pipe sector, and they never came to the state. So we never got to the issue of whether or not we should purchase these bonds or what role the state should play. World was good. It went on. Now, the infrastructure at the beginning, the Pipeline Authority and the Infrastructure Authority were supposed to be self-generating revenue. Ideally, in the beginning, they would have gone out and they would have floated these tax-free bonds, and they would, as they float the bonds, there would have been a fee paid to them or collected by them, and from those bonds, so they'd sell the bonds, they'd lend the bond money out to the private authority. So I issue you the bonds, I get the cash, I lend it to you, the private entity, and then there's a differential on the interest rate you pay back. And that was going to pay for the cost of these entities, and so they were going to be self-sustaining. When the tax-free bond statuses were eliminated, there was no capacity for these entities to ever run out and get to issue bonds and then lend it out at a differential. So, as a result, we converted them to a general funded agency when we realized there was a benefit to them. We need them out there. They do help us. But there's no hope that they're ever going to have a mechanism to generate their own revenue. Now, one of the last issues that we had a strong issue with was the issuance when the Infrastructure Authority did issue some bonds. So the Infrastructure Authority issued about $26 million, I think it's $24 to $30 million worth of bonds. And they, in essence, they loaned that money to one of our electrical companies operating throughout the Rocky Mountain area. They loaned the money out, say, at 6%. Then they took their bonds and they sold them to the Wyoming Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, the Treasurer. The Treasurer bought them. The Treasurer paid about 4%. Or loaned about 4%, so there's about a 1% differential between what the Treasurer loaned them for and what they loaned it to the private entity. And they, the Infrastructure Authority at that time came in and touted a success and said, look, we have now created a loan. We're getting this money to ourselves. All is good. And we said, wait a minute. That's, in effect, a legislative-designated investment where we just, what we call an LDI, legislative-designated investment, where, and it wasn't quite that, but it's the equivalent of that, where the legislature goes to the Treasurer and says, out of the Wyoming Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, you take a percentage and loan it to ranchers, whatever you want to loan it to, at a lower than market interest rate than they could get. That means that on that $26 million, they certainly could have loaned it directly to the power company if that's what they wanted to do. Rather, they gave a much lower rate to the Infrastructure Authority that went out and loaned it. And that means that our investment in the Permanent Mineral Wyoming Trust Fund was garnering less revenues, which, by the way, come to the general fund, and we'll be talking about interest and revenues off the general fund or off the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund this year. We looked at that with jaundiced eyes and said, that doesn't make sense. And so we've come a ways. But here's part of the problem with these. What are the rules of the game? How much, you know, $3 billion, are you going to give it to one big project? Are you going to give it to two projects? And what is the purpose and how are we going to utilize this? Because here's how the transaction works. Coal company comes in and said, I'd like to have a port. What's the state good for? And the state says, well, you know, we have these constitutional provisions. We have some restrictions. We really, we can help you some ways, but we can't help you. We have a constitutional amendment that says we can give monies, but we don't want to go there because we want to give you money out of the general fund. And so they go to the Infrastructure Authority, the Business Council, and all these people, and they begin thinking and said, well, here's $1 billion, you know, this is great. We're going to go get you $1 billion of the bonds, and we're going to go to the Treasurer and ask the Treasurer to buy those bonds. And they start marching down the road, and they say, we have the state statute, and they go to the Treasurer, and they say, Mr. Treasurer, the legislature wants you to loan to buy. They want you to invest in these bonds out of the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, and they want you to now go as high as $3 billion, maybe $1 billion. What's the rules of the road? Do we want the Treasurers to do it? If the Treasurer is not going to buy these bonds, what purpose is the statute? What is the message? Why do we want it? Now, if you tell me that being an issuing entity of revenue bonds where there's no exposure and where we don't buy bonds, that this has some utility, we should know that. And we should know what the utility of the bonds is. But if there's no utility, if no private investors ever going to use these, and all they are is a vehicle to walk down to the Treasurer's office and ask them to invest our permanent mineral trust funds, then be honest. That's what we want to do. And the Treasurer says, well, what do you want me to do? You want me to buy $3 billion worth of bonds, and at what rate? So my question is that we really ought to talk about is before we go down there is, what is the purpose of raising the money and having the statute at all? What is the utility apart from somebody being able to walk down the Treasurer's office and say, we want them to issue the bonds, this quasi-governmental entity, and we want you to purchase them? at a lower than market rate. What's the utility?
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Cooper.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't know how to really answer all those particular things that were brought up, but I can tell you a few things. And I think one of the things is that, as Mr. President brought up, was the fact that he brought up the example of the Kern River pipeline situation, where the state was going to head, and by the way, the Infrastructure Authority is modeled after just the Pipeline Authority. The thing of it was is that it had not been for that us moving forward on that Pipeline Authority and their ability to bond that pipeline, that Kern River pipeline, Stein, I guess we shouldn't use proper names, but the particular pipeline, I guess, that went from Opal to California, Opal, Wyoming to California, that pipeline, you know, may not have ever got built. And it's a good example of how these authorities can work. And if nothing else, that is really a good one. And also, so it provides an incentive for this to happen. As far as the intricacies of whether or not they would use all this bonding on one project or not, I don't, we did not ask that question. But it appeared, though, from the testimony that we heard in the committee that some of these, for example, just a transmission, a power line transmission project can cost a couple of $1 billion just to get it across Wyoming, one project. So there is a possibility maybe that they could use it all on one project, one particular project. But I think the main key to this thing, and we've tried to work this out before, I know we went through this with Hospital 147 and maybe even a bill before that, I can't recall the number of that. Where we went through the possibility of the fact that how can we do something like this in light of what it says in Article 16, Section 6 of our Constitution. And one of the ways that was decided we could possibly do something like this, provide this incentive through this infrastructure authority. And that's why it was created. As to the intricacies about what happens down in the treasurer's office and how that happens, we'd probably have to delve into that a little bit more than maybe what a lot of us in here know about and how that happens. But I am familiar with what the good president said on how they did do that original project with the power company here in Wyoming for building some power line. But I had thought that that went fairly well, but maybe it's needs to be something to be looked at. But I still think that there is a reason for these authorities that we have, and it is a good example of a pipeline authority, like I say, that which this is modeled after, just to repeat myself, I guess, has been working well and has done some good here in the state for building pipelines. That's about all I can say, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. Well, my understanding about the Kern River situation is that we – you know, there's a difference of opinion, I suppose. A lot of people believe that that wouldn't have happened unless the state was had not been standing ready to do that. And I have friends that very adamantly believe that, and that may be true. But in the end, Kern River was built with private money. It wasn't built. They didn't take advantage of any funding from the state of Wyoming. And so, you know, the private sector has an enormous ability for a good idea to raise money. They built some great projects, Alaskan Pipeline, power transmission lines. Admittedly, there are challenges, and there are challenges to building a port in a hostile area that doesn't want a port to ship coal. But I'm not sure that the challenge in that situation, Mr. Chairman, has to do with financing. I think the challenge has to do with people that don't want it there and want to use obstacles within the legal environmental regulatory system. Not saying it's not costly to get around those, and there is a cost involved. I get it. And please, Mr. Chairman, I want to sell Wyoming coal, too. I'm a big believer. But I'm not sure that this accomplishes that. We're talking about private sectors that have an enormous ability to raise money for commercially viable projects. The commercial viability of selling coal is not the question. It's the ability under the local siting and local environmental and national environmental regulations to build it and site it against all the obstacles
opposing that. I'm not sure that this has anything at all to do with that, Mr. Chairman, and it's probably a bad road to go down. I totally agree with Mr. President's description of the situation with respect to the power company and the line. That made no sense at all. And really, you know, if it doesn't involve the credit of the state of Wyoming in some way, then why can't anybody do it? Establish their own authority. What makes it magical to be the state of Wyoming's authority? Mr. Chairman, I stand opposed.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to speak to the Kern River issue for just a minute, and I'm one of those that believe it really made a difference. And the debate we're having today is very similar to what occurred in probably 1989. And quite frankly, the reason I remember it is I was a sponsor of that bill. And what it did, when we took that to the floor, we had the same discussion about the full faith and credit. We designed it so it would not be that way. The state was in a position to buy those bonds. If you recall, that was a pretty tough time for the state of Wyoming, and we had all this gas that was shut in and no place to go. What it enabled us to do is by bringing it to the forefront through the legislative process, we were able to promote our natural gas. And we were able to go out to California, actually to Kern County, where they needed our natural gas because of their heavy oil. They needed the gas to fire their big steam generators to be able to remove the oil from the formations, and it really did make a difference. And exactly what happened, as described by my colleague from Fremont County, is after the private sector realized the potential the state was willing to step up, they did. In fact, we had two of them competing against each other. The thing that I have and wanted to say about this, and I agree with everything Mr. President has said, but this is the way the statute and this law was set in when it was originally done. We're not changing anything about the $1 billion and how it's set up. My question is, you know, when we did it back then, and I can't answer about the whether or not that they're tax exempt or not now for these kind of bonds. If they were exempt back then and it made the difference to 2 or 3% because of the tax exempt status, then it's different today. But if that's still the same case, then this would be a valid reason to continue to have this. And if we defeat this bill and don't take it forward and discuss it further, then you go back to the way the statute is now, which says you still have $1 billion out there that you can do everything that the president said we shouldn't do. The only difference is you can only use it for transmission lines, and you can't utilize it to promote trying to get a coal port to export our coal. So before we kill this, I'd hate to see us kill it till we can answer some of those questions, because if we do, we go back to where we were. We got $1 billion out there that may be in jeopardy, and yet we can't even use it for our coal ports.
Senator Anderson, 28.
Mr. Chairman, I stand in favor of this bill. It brings us in alignment with what 37.5303A says this group has the authority to do. And I won't read it all to you because it's on after word 47 in the first sentence. It says acquiring, maintaining. It's all about electrical transmission facilities. Then it goes advanced coal technology facilities, coal distribution facilities, including ports. We already have that in statute that this group has the authority to do ports and enhance coal facilities. So all we're doing is bringing this bill into compliance with what 37.5303A says.
Thank you, Senator. Anything else? All right, Mr. President.
Ask that the bill be laid back on for one day on Committee of the Whole, because I think some of these questions ought to be answered. And it's a discussion, you know, the difference between $1 billion and $3 billion, it's significant. That's a lot of money for anybody. Imagine if that was in the PIGRA account. You just imagine that. Isn't that we could do some stuff.
I'm not sure that's going to fit in here, but.
Oh, it would fit in there. It's just bills, man, just bills. But so I would like to have the questions. But you know, here's my concern. I understand going back to Kern River is a different issue because there was a time where we were prepared to find out ways for the state to lease capacity in the pipeline, to be a lessee of the pipeline. We had a dozen different ideas about how we could become an investor in some sort. And I believe also at that time there was an issue as to whether or not there were available tax-free bonds for purposes. And that was about the time these tax-free bonds were industrial revenue bonds, infrastructure, and there are some tax-free exemptions out there. I don't know. So we should learn that information. I suspect we're going to find that there's no special tax status available for these bonds any longer. So then, after you voted for this thing, you ought to know what is the utility of it? If the utility of it is so that the business council can walk down and say, we can, and the infrastructure authority arm in arm can walk in and say, we can issue bonds. Bring us to the table. And, I worry about that. There are a lot of bright people out there. And if somebody figures out a way to issue a revenue bond with the Wyoming Infrastructure Authority at $3 billion and they default, we're going to be embarrassed. I don't care whether whether we're responsible for the bonds or not. Our name is on them. It's our name, their bonds, and somebody's going to ask, what's your role in it? This is significant issues. And if the issue is we want to take the existing $1 billion and expand it for coal, that's a discussion to be had. But if the issue is these are so popular that we need to get $3 billion out there, or these projects are going to be $3 billion and we got to have $3 billion to feel like we're big enough to be at the table. At the table for what? What's being asked? And remember, while the Infrastructure Authority, the Pipeline Authority, began as quasi-governmental entities that were distant from us, these folks are now general funded. These people are paid, they're on contract, but they're just like any other agency. I wouldn't say every, they're not like Department of Health, but they're very comparable to the Business Council, which is a quasi-governmental entity, but we pay those salaries. Those people are under our employ, and the Infrastructure Authority and the Pipeline Authority are now under our budgets. We appropriate, we pay for their salaries. And I don't care how you look at it, that creates a little bit more of an obligation of us to ask these questions. So we're not hearing the answers, but I'd ask that it be laid back a day or maybe two till the sponsors can meet with the agency and find out the answer to these questions.
Senator Hicks.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, along those lines, if we're going to lay this bill back, which I think is an excellent idea, there's some questions that come up in my mind. And one of the questions is when we use the example, not being here at the time of the Kern River Pipeline, but of following the issue in the paper, but it seems like the debate here, that was to financially incentivize that project to be able to move forward. I understand that this is trying to do that, but the issues were different that we're dealing with today than what they were dealing with then. We can financially incentivize all the ports in the world, but until we overcome the regulatory burden through both the federal and those other state regulatories, it's a moot point. So I guess the question I have on this thing is that the intent is to financially incentivize a port, but what's the impetus to doing that? If we can't get a permit for it anyway, so I don't see the rush to be able to do this right now. We're trying to overcome our own federal government and other states' regulatory authority, and until those obstacles are removed, this is just a moot discussion, because I don't see how this is going to move that process and the regulatory environment along. So I guess if we're going to have some input into that process, that's a big question I have on this increased authority on the bonding.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Geis.
I move that we lay this bill back till January 16th without precedent, and there's no debate on the motion.
I believe that, Mr. President, the chair can rule on that. It's been moved that this bill be laid back. And so without objection, is that... I think that motion is already on the...
Was it a question to me or was it a motion made?
Chairman,
motion's made, that's great.
Mr. Chairman, I move the bill back without precedent till January 16th.
Good idea.
Can the chair just rule on that?
Well, I would think the question is without objection, it's moved.
Hearing no objection, the bill will be laid back till January 16th.
You do have to vote on
that. We do have to vote on that, fellow senators. So there is a motion on the floor that this bill be laid back till January 16th. All in favor of that, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no. Now, the bill will be laid back till January 16th and reconsidered at a later time. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 32. If the reading clerk would please read that bill.
Senate File 32, Small Employer Group Health Insurance, sponsored by the Labor Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, Social Services, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Kraft, Driscoll, Landon, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the Senate file. What is your pleasure, Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 32 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments, and I yield to Senator Driscoll for an explanation of the Senate file.
Senator Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill deals with small employer group health insurance, and it comes to you as a gift of the ACA. It's our first installment of many. What this bill does is, under existing law the way it is, it's a shall offer coverage to dependents under the group plans. This is a four-word bill that says may offer coverage, and what this does is allows employers to opt out on dependents and their spouses so that they can offer insurance only to who's employed. What this does is allows the dependents and the others to go into the exchange at probably a cheaper rate. Very often now, they offer it to the spouses and the dependents, but it's a very nearly whole cost, and it makes it cost prohibitive, and it's a tough deal. So the way it is now, the employer is who decides whether they are able to be in or out, and this merely makes it where those employers do, it allows those spouses to go into the exchange and still be insured, rather than be forced to buy a very expensive policy. It's a good bill. It's a cleanup. Like I say, it's the first installment of many ACAs. That I'd stand for questions.
Mr. President.
Mr. Chairman, my recollection is this is a program that subsidizes health insurance costs that's paid for by insurance premiums, which ultimately reduces the revenues to the general fund. What I'd like to do is just maybe have a report on how is the program working, what is the cost of this is not that. Okay.
Chairman Scott.
Mr. Chairman, no, this is the small group insurance program. We enacted it, my memory is 1992, could have been 1991, the result of a select committee on health care and health insurance. We were the second state in the country to enact it. There is no subsidy either directly, as I can recall, in this thing, although there is a provision that we put in a good deal later that does allow certain high risks to be laid off into a pool we subsidize. That's a separate issue. What's going on here is when we enacted it to start with, Mr. Chairman, we were seeking to make insurance available to, through small employers, because we were getting people just locked in. They couldn't, they had a dependent, for example, that couldn't, was uninsurable, and they couldn't get insurance at all, and they would just get locked into a, an insurance policy with an employer they were already on that couldn't move. So when we did the small group, we said that they had to offer coverage to dependents. It was part of the basic scheme, and as was explained, the ACA has changed the world in that respect, and with the guarantee issue there, these dependents can get reasonable coverage in the through the exchange and the private marketplace, but they can't go through the exchange if they are offered other coverage, even if it's prohibitively expensive. So that's why we make this optional. I think we're confusing it with the very subsidized things in the WHIP pool and similar pools, and that's not what's involved here.
Question has been called. All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion, when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 32. Please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no. The Senate file has passed Committee of the Whole. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 13. If the reading clerk would please read the Senate file.
Senate File 13, Method of Execution 1, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Christensen, Hicks, Kinsey, and Von Flatiron. No, Senator Escobel. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the Senate file. What is your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 13, Method of Execution. There are no standing committee amendments. To further discuss the bill, I would ask you to call on the Senator from District 22.
Senator Kinsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's important to recognize, before we talk about what this bill is, to touch briefly upon what this bill is not. This bill is not a call upon you to vote for or against the death penalty. There may be a time and a place for that debate. This is not it. Rather, what this bill concerns is, given that the death penalty is the law of the land in Wyoming, how is that to be done? What we have with regard to the death penalty is an antiquated statute that needs to be updated, and without such updating, in the event that there is an execution to move forward, and there has not been one in Wyoming in 27 years, but if one were to move forward, there's the possibility that the state, the legal system, could be placed in legal limbo. So to understand that, I'd ask that you refer to the current execution statute, which is in your box, and that is a single page, 7-13-904, Method of Execution. And that section of law has two parts. Section A, which I will not read, provides that when a execution is to be carried forward, it is to be done by lethal injection. Lethal injection being one of four constitutional methods of execution in the United States, the others being hanging, firing squad, and gas chamber. Subsection B is where I would draw your attention to now, which reads as follows. Under existing law, if the execution of the sentence of death, as provided in subsection A, that is, lethal injection, is held unconstitutional, The sentence of death shall be executed by the administration of lethal gas within the time prescribed by law, unless for cause shown, the court or the governor extends the time. Now, there's a couple of problems with this sentence, which the committee bill, SF-13, addresses. The first problem is, this is your fallback if there's a problem with lethal injection. You go to the gas chamber. There, Wyoming has no gas chamber. Now, how is it that you would end up having to fall back to an alternative means of execution? It would be, A, you cannot get the drugs at all because some of the nations from whom these drugs come are putting an embargo on those because they have laws against the death penalty. So either you could not get the drugs at all or you could not get them timely. And if you could not get them timely, you run up against constitutional issues on cruel and unusual punishment. So either you couldn't get them or you couldn't get them timely, or that lethal injection may be held unconstitutional, in which case you're looking at a gas chamber as subsection B, which Wyoming does not currently have. So we're faced with the prospect of having to construct a gas chamber in that unlikely event. SF-13 says instead we'll pick one of the remaining two constitutional methods of execution and update this statute, and what was selected was firing squad. As unpleasant as that is, it's necessary to update this statute. So to recap, it's an antiquated statute that needs to be updated. It is not about for or against the death penalty, but rather, given that it is the law of the land, given that we have no gas chamber and could construct one only at a tremendous cost, what alternative means shall be used? And the one selected was firing squad. I stand for questions.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question is to, does the committee, or is there any testimony as to what that cost would be for a gas chamber?
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a follow-up on that, then we've been nearly three decades since this has been a problem. It would seem like the gas chamber needs a little further exploration. And not hearing the testimony in the committee, just briefly following it through the media, this is the first I've heard that the gas chamber wasn't part of it, just the firing squad was getting all the attention. If we could have a little more explanation on that gas chamber, as our good past president has just asked for, and then maybe explain why it needs to happen when it hasn't happened for nearly 30 years.
Senator Meyer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And you know, I don't know. I guess if you've got four, we might not be able to do one. We can't do the other one because it's not available. I'm just wondering, why don't we just leave it up to the Director of Corrections? You know, if they can't get the job done the way that it says in the statute, then the Director of Corrections can basically make a decision that we can do it any legally constitutional way, then we don't have to be back here again.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, in answer to some of these questions, at the committee meeting, the cost of the gas chamber was not discussed. This bill does actually two things, and the aspect of using the firing squad is actually, that's fungible. That can be subbed out for any other form of execution that this body may want, or even if you want to leave it up to the Department of Corrections, that's fine. The important part, I think, of this bill is the language on line 13 and 14. It gets rid of the current language in statute about if you cannot acquire these drugs. Under current statute, the only reason you could go from lethal injection would be for constitutional purposes. But the circumstance we have now, which was unforeseen some years back, is the prohibition of the moratorium on the sale of these drugs from the various companies in Europe. And first the companies themselves banned the sale, then the EU stepped in and through government action have banned the sale to those states in the United States that want to use them for execution purposes. So we cannot get these drugs. That was not foreseen. So if we have an execution that comes up for the date, we cannot, as the good senator from District 22 said, we cannot carry this out. This puts us in a legal conundrum. As far as the installation or building another gas chamber goes, I think, frankly, that it would cost us building the physical act of building the gas chamber probably wouldn't be so much. But how much do you want to spend on legal fees when you're actually in the process? The state's going to go ahead and build it with the legal costs and the lawsuits that are going to go forward for a structure that may or may not be used in anybody's lifetime, because it would be the secondary form of execution. As the senator from District 22 said, we haven't executed anybody since 1992. Their executions are rare in Wyoming, but they're still the law of the land. And it's incumbent upon this legislature, as long as they are the law of the land, it's incumbent upon this legislature to make sure that they can be done according to the wishes of the people.
Question has been called. All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 13, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Senate File 13 has passed Committee of the Whole. That clears the desk, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
And I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No.
Motion carried.
Not much left to do.
Everything's okay. I got to go have it.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 22, do pass. Senate File 16, do pass. Senate File 10, do pass. Senate File 23, do pass. Senate File 20, do pass. Senate File 24, laid back. Senate File 32, do pass. Senate File 13, do pass. Senator Landon, Chairman.
Oh, yeah, anything you need, for sure. No problem. Whatever you need, if we can help for this one, I'll be back.
Can you give us a motion? Do I ask? Pardon?
Bill. Adoption.
Senator Landon, do you have a motion to make?
Move to adopt.
Where are you?
Mr. President, thank you for the reminder. I would move that the Committee of the Whole report be adopted.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion is carried. The report has been adopted. Oh. Levi, where's Levi? Just sitting over there wondering when he's going to get a special pen. This is the coolest, Levi. You don't get to come here without a pen. Eli, we're going to give you one of the lapel pens that you received, that others have received, and we'd like you to wear that with honor. And we're sure glad you're going to be here for 2 weeks. Great. Thank you very much. And I don't know... Eli, if you want, I'll go give you the mag. Why don't you just tell everybody about what school you're from, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, speech.
All right.
Yeah.
I will give you the
mag. I'm from Laramie. Go to Laramie High School. Kind of weird how I landed here. It wasn't anything special. Just doing a presentation in class, and my principal came in and saw it, and kind of made a couple of emails, and then was. Connected me to Judy Parks, and that landed me here. So, and it's an honor to be here, and it's a great opportunity, and I thank all you guys. So,
Here, here.
Well, glad to have you. Well, Levi, we're glad to have you. We know it takes a little bit of work to keep your grades up, and but we're sure glad you're here with us. This is special orders and committee announcements. Is that done? Are there any special reports or committee announcements? Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any committee meeting notice regarding joint appropriations? Joint Appropriations Committee will meet today on upon adjournment in room 204 to hear some testimony from the District Attorney, First Judicial District, and from the State Treasurer.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 7, Corporations, will be meeting tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m. in room S-19 up at the top of the stairs. We're going to take up Senate File 49, Initiative and Referendum Revisions, Senate File 52, Elections, Vote Senators, and Electronic Poll Books, Senate File 53, Special Elections Time Limits, Senate File 54, Election Code Revisions. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 6, Travel, will be meeting on Thursday, January 15th at 8 a.m. in room S-14 to consider the following bills. Senate File 44, Large Project Funding, and Senate File 5, Quebec 1, Historic Site 3.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, will meet in about 10 minutes after adjournment to look at Senate File 30, Camp Guernsey Range Management Fund.
Senator,
S-14.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources, will have a joint ag meeting over in B-63 tomorrow night. And the U.S. Forest Service will come and present their, tell you what they're going to do to take care of our Forest Service in the state of Wyoming. Everybody's welcome to go to it.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just, due to yesterday's actions, I thought it was very important for this body to know the proper protocols when one addresses Her Majesty, and there was certain things that, you know, so as we're not to get in trouble, there is a long list of protocols, but even the Senate's not required to abide by them all, but there are certain formalities that we should follow, and it starts with you should not introduce yourself, you should wait to be introduced to Her Majesty. There's a no-touch rule. The Queen's visitors have to wait until she extends her hand to take it, and they're not supposed to grip it tightly or pump it. No hugs, no kisses on the cheek, no touching on the shoulder, or to take her by the elbow to direct her. When making a formal speech in Her Majesty's gracious presence, it's correct to begin with, "May it please Your Majesty," and to end with it's courteous to say, "Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you to rise to join me in a toast to the Queen." And then finally, Mr. President, normally women do not, when they do, they should do a small curtsy, and men should bow their heads when they meet the Queen. And I just thought that to keep the senators out of a little trouble with the Queen, that we should know the proper protocols. Thank you.
Well, and we do want to stay out of the trouble with the Queen. Madam Queen, Your Majesty.
Mr. President, if I could ask that we would suspend all those rules except the toasting one. I would like a lot of toasting. Other than that...
Well, with that, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I think that clears the desk. No, we got another announcement. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, speaking of Her Majesty, I hope I'm not speaking out of school, but there is a royal birthday tomorrow. Just so everyone knows.
uh, Okay, with that, I think that clears the desk. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Just one more announcement. The legislative photographer will be in the basement conference room today, Friday. Well, today through Friday of this week from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. each day. Please stop by your earliest convenience to have your official legislative photograph taken if you haven't done so already. And if you don't want to take your picture, we will have a little spot up there on the portrait, and there'll be a big blank. So please get down and do that. With that, Mr. President, I move that we stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion's adopted. Any other announcements? If not, we're done.